You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
Well, man, so good to be back in my second home, And I've been told already that my accent has got thicker back to Australian. Is that right? God bless you. Okay, so no, I'm playing, but hey, before you grab your seat, why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you look at the person in the eyes next to them and look at them longingly, and tell them you're very attractive, we should hang out more. Go on, would you do that? You're very attractive, we should hang out more. And if that was awkward in any way, I apologize. But if that helped you in any way, you're welcome. Okay, why don't you do that? Why don't you grab your seats? Yeah. Any husbands kind of got some extra points then? Any husbands? Yeah. All right. Cool. Hey, anyone who was in the young adult demographic happened to be sitting next to that special somebody, and you kind of that worked out for you? Okay, maybe not. Wow. Okay, that's interesting. Oh, over there, that worked for you, man. Hey, you're welcome, bro. It's all good. There's a love. There's a love offering at the end. Anyway, no, I'm playing. That's so bad. I shouldn't say that. What's going on? Anyway. I'm blessed to be here again with my family. I just got to say, I love your pastors. I really do. And the truth be told, when I was 15, which is about 3 years ago, I'm joking, I just moisturized. But I met Pastor Jürgen and Leanne came from New Zealand, which is like a form of Alcatraz. And they came from there to Australia and became our youth pastors. I was 15 years old, and I was just a drummer in a punk rock band, and that's cool. And yeah, it was called Chuck Wood, which is just stupid. Anyway, so but it was punk, and we'd rebel. Pastor Jürgen actually grabbed me and said, "Man, why don't you come play for church? Why don't you come?" I'm like, "Why would I do that?" And at that time, I just met my wife back then, Alana. I met her at a punk rock concert. That's how we met. We didn't meet in church. We met at a punk rock concert. She pursued me, and it was crazy. It was a little awkward when she was outside my window. You know, I'm joking, but she's not here, so I'm very brave. But we met then, and basically started going along to youth. And Pastor Jürgen and Leanne, you got to understand, our youth ministry was probably maybe 30, 40 kids back then. And then what we were able to watch them build by the grace of God, then turned into a phenomenal youth ministry. And then it was handed over to me, and I halved it. And no, I'm joking. I'm playing. We've just had such a beautiful experience with just knowing these guys as friends. And so I'm really, really grateful. And my wife Alana sends her love, and she couldn't be. She's here. She's in San Diego, but she's at the casino. And so I'm playing again. I can't do that. It's horrible. But she does send her love, and so we're just really grateful. And all the pastors, all the team, just to, she's watching online. Oh my gosh, what's that, honey? I'm dead. Okay, so I'm changing the locks. Anyway, so we were blessed to have our beautiful twin girls. So we have a boy, he's 9 years old, his name is Bailey, and he's just such a stud, a little cutie kid. And I got a picture, because I want to show you what my kids are looking like and how they're growing. So this is my kids. Isn't that cute? I love it. So these are my beautiful offspring here, and I love it. I love just watching all the, have you noticed all the girls, you know, when the cute picture comes up? Oh, It's so high pitch. Do you realize every time you do that, dolphins beach themselves? I just want you to know that right now. They hear, and they literally beach. You're the cause of dolphin deaths all around the world. I'm telling you, just by seeing cute things. And don't do it backwards. Don't go backwards. Oh, whales beach them. Don't do it, okay? So I'm blaming. Here we go. So Bailey over here, my little Fedora the Explorer here, he's now 9, surfs, plays rugby league. Man, he's just such a dude. And then my girls here. So on the right-hand side, again, they were born in California. They're little California girls. Not like Katy Perry, but California girls. And so this is Jersey on the right here. And she's like a full-on brainiac. She's so smart. She can already do a 60-piece puzzle. Come on, I can barely even write And she can already put them together, and she's just so brilliant. And then on the other side, this is my little sassy one. This is Savannah, and she's just got sass. Like, she has got attitude already, but man, she's the daddy's girl, Savannah is, and so is Bailey. I'm still working on Jersey. But they are, like, Savannah will literally, she'll be holding me, and I'll be holding her, and we'll have a moment to get, she'll be stroking my face. I'll be like, oh my gosh, we're having a moment. It's so nice. Like this. And then a split second later, slap me in the, oh. And seriously, and then she'll just start patting me again. I'm like, okay, I'm scared, okay? Seriously. Hey, true story. I'm going to tell this story and then we're going to preach. Ready? So I was, it's crazy. So I literally, we bought them big girls' beds, okay? So we're trying to get them out of their cage, you know. What do you call them here? Cribs. Okay, sorry. Cry, that's so bad. Get back in your cage. No, okay. So we have the cribs, and we said, look, girls, we want to get you into big girls' beds. And so they're like, oh, wow. And we talked it up. Man, it's going to be so exciting. So we put them in the bed, and they start, maybe for like 2 minutes, they're interested. 2 minutes. Me and Lena are watching TV or praying. I can't remember. But as we, two minutes later, I hear this do running through the room. I'm like, that's it. I go into the room, and there they are running around the room. I'm like, girls, come on. You promised Daddy you'd go to sleep. They're like, yes, Daddy, absolutely. So they go back to sleep. Well, they go seemingly back to sleep. 2 minutes later, running through. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I go in and I'm like, girls, if you don't go to sleep, I had to bring out the big guns. I did. I didn't want to go there. It was a last resort. But I said, listen, girls, if you don't go to sleep, Daddy's going to have to bring out the wooden spoon. Okay. Is anyone here familiar with the wooden spoon? I don't know if that, oh my gosh. Did you see that? It's like a support group. Everyone's like, that's me. Oh my gosh. Seriously. We are wooden spoon survivors. Together. Yeah. I'm telling you, we should get stickers done. I survived the wooden spoon. Honestly, my mom used to carry it on her. Anyone's mom like that? And she would have it in her bag, and all she had to do was give you that look. Just give you the look. And that look was pretty much like, do you want some of this? You're like, that's literally what the look was. And she used to carry it on. At one point, she didn't even have it in her bag. She used to carry it around in a sheath. She'd be like, shing, you know. She was ready to go. And I remember she used to beat me. Well, not beat me. That sounds a bit harsh, doesn't it? But she did. She used to pick me up by one hand. My legs would be dangling. She'd be beating me like a piñata. I'm like, no candy coming out of that. So literally, does anyone remember the day? Anyone remember the day when if this happened for you, where your mum wound up and she broke that wooden spoon? Come on. That's right. I remember looking at her dead in the. I looked her straight in the eye. I said, "You've lost your power now, woman." True story. Then she fly kicked me to the throat. But anyway, nothing much. But I said to the girls, if you don't go to sleep, Daddy's going to bring out the wooden spoon. They're like, okay, Daddy, absolutely. And so I'm like, I'm thinking, that's it. It's done. So me and Lana were watching TV. Literally 5 minutes later, I'm like, oh my gosh, I get the wooden spoon. I walk in, and of all people, there is Jersey, the brainiac, the innocent one. She's running around the room, making a run for the door. Savannah's holding onto the edge of the bed, and she's yelling, spanker, spanker. True story. So that's my kids. That's what I put up with. But my little sadistic twins. Anyway, so we're having a good time, but we're loving God. Church has been it's been amazing, and I've called Pastor Jürgen. He's been a great help to me over many years. Literally since I was 15, I'm 35 now, and to have such help and support, but to see what God's doing in our church has just been so great. And the stories of and I'll share some in this message tonight, but to just to see the fact that God he's doing something great through His church globally, and know that you are a part of a significant church, and you're part of a church that is doing something. Come on, that is literally going to make a difference. And I love hearing the heartbeat even again. It hasn't changed, especially since I left, which I love, which shows that, man, people matter and eternity matters, and we need to see more and more people come to know Jesus. And so I want to share a thought. I want to share a message. Let's have a conversation here tonight. And I want to inspire you, maybe even leading up to this Easter season, that as you come in, that you would start to think about this moment and this perfect opportune time to actually talk about and share a message that is more than just a nice message or a nice idea, but it's something that could literally change someone's life forever. And so I want to share something that will hopefully inspire you, stir you, but maybe even challenge you. And I hope to do that because, and look, if it challenges you and you're upset, it's all good. You know, I'll be gone tomorrow, chat to Pastor Jürgen. But No, but I do. I want to challenge us as a church in love, because I really believe that that's what we should do for one another. And so I'm going to chuck some scripture up onto the screen. This is Luke chapter 7, one of my favorite portions of scripture. I gave the guys a different scripture for another message, but I felt to do this one. So here we go. Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. Luke chapter 7. Look at these guys. You're going to get another new scripture? Here we go. I'll read from my Bible. Kick it old school. Here we go. Luke chapter 7 verse 36 says this. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. This is talking about Jesus. And he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. Here we go. Reclined at the table. And it says this, and behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, the translation says, a sinner. This is her identity. This is how everyone knew her, that she was a sinner. When she learned that he was reclining at the table at the Pharisee's house, bought an alabaster jar of ointment. Another translation says a jar of what they call pure nard, which I would find that quite fascinating. Anyone else? Like, if you're going to call a perfume anything, really? Pure nard? That doesn't sell. That's not sexy. It doesn't do it. You know, it's not. Imagine going up to someone, are you wearing pure nard? Like, no, it doesn't. But all the same, that's what they had. And the Bible says that she brought this jar of pure nard or ointment. Verse 39, now when the Pharisees who invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Verse 40, and Jesus answered, said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he said, say it, teacher. Watch this. He starts to unravel this story about, Jesus is so brilliant because he talks in stories and he starts to unpackage things that will really ultimately challenge the heart. He says, there's a certain money lender who had two debtors. In other words, two people who were in debt. One owed him 500 denarii and the other one owed him 50 denarii. He says this, when they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. And this is a perfect example of the grace of God. The fact that our debts have been canceled. And we'll talk about that in a moment. It says, now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one I suppose for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Watch this, verse 44 is profound. It says this, then he says, turning toward the woman, he said to Simon. Can you catch that? In other words, even when Jesus is dealing with your accusers, his countenance is always towards you. His face is always towards you. He never takes his face from you. His face full of grace and love looks towards you even when he's dealing with your problems. Beautiful. That's just another message for another time, but here we go. He says, he's turned the woman and he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. Yet you did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are... Come on, you're allowed to... People get frightened. They don't want to yell out in church in case they yell out the wrong thing. You know what I'm saying? Her sins, which are Moses. Like, no one wants to be that dude. But it's on the screen. So here we go. Her sins, which are many. It's many sins. Says they've been forgiven. Man, this is profound. For she loved much. Now this portion, this part right here, we're going to come back to this at the end. We'll conclude with this particular part. Watch this. But he who is forgiven little loves little. Interesting. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at the table began to say amongst themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? He said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. It's all of my message for all those people that are taking notes and want to have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Would you do this? That's a joke. Quick, give me a pen. Okay, it's all good. I'm playing. But it's good to take notes in church. This is something that's really near and dear to my heart, this particular topic. So here is my topic to pique your curiosity for tonight. A strictly inclusive church. A strictly inclusive church. Let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to us tonight. Come on, would you do that? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the time we get to share together. And today, God, we want Jesus to be lifted up. And we thank you that by the end of this, what will be glorified is not a man, not a message, but a person, and it's the person of Christ. I thank you that by the end, we would have our eyes open to see what you want us to see, Lord. And I thank you that by the end, people's hearts would be awakened to the beautiful truth of who you are. God, we love you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. How many people here, just by show of hands, how many people here are a huge fan of vacation? Come on. Look, this is everyone. Okay, so vacation is the best. But how many people know that the best type of vacation is the vacation you don't have to pay for? Come on, somebody. So, see, you got to understand, when I got married, as much as I married my wife for her beauty and her intellect, truth be told, one of the benefits is that I actually married into a reasonably wealthy family. Okay, I didn't marry for money, but it's a bonus. Okay, so... Her parents are extremely generous people, just amazingly generous people. My in-laws would take us on trips all the time. Like, literally, at their expense, they flew us to Fiji to go on a surf trip. I'm like, oh my gosh, are you serious? Like, and then they've taken us to the snow, all these different places, all at their expense. Just extremely generous people. My parents, on the other hand, had yet to come to the table. So for many years, the early years of our marriage, 15 years we've been married now, but in the early years of our marriage, Alana would kind of bring it up in conversation just slightly. Hey, babe, so when are your parents going to take us on a trip? I said, babe, it's all right. They're just biding their time. No, they're not. They're stingy. Okay, so I said, no. Like, just give them time. They're just waiting. They're just holding back for the opportune time, and then they're going to reveal this great trip. And so years go by. We go on trips with their parents, with Alana's parents, but my parents still have not come to the party. And so anyway, so my parents one day calls me up. My mum calls me up. James, you want to come over, sweetheart? I said, sure, come over. I go over. There's mum sitting there with dad, and they have this excited look on their face. They said, we've got something to tell you. I said, what is it? Just wait. And I tell me, mum, come on. She sits down, she said, well, actually, me and your father want to take you on a holiday, on a vacation. And in my head, I've got to be honest with you, I set the bar really low. I set it low. I'm like, wow, we're going to Wollongong. Anyway, so I love Wollongong, but I set the bar reasonably low. And so I'm thinking, great. My parents look at me, they said, well, actually, what we would love to do is we would love to take you on a 3-week, all expenses paid trip to Europe. I said, can I just pray about that for a second? Shandama, yes, let's do it, right? Okay, so literally, so we get there. When you go on, there's something exciting about going on a plane on a holiday vacation. And so we get to the airport, we go to check in. There's the lady behind the counter, and I'm excited, got my passport out. And she starts typing in the computer. I'm like, oh, is everything all good? She's like, it's fine, just wait a second. She looks up again, and she kind of has this concerned look on her face, and she keeps typing. I'm like, are you all right? Is there anything wrong? She's like, sir, just be patient. Just calm down. And that never works, by the way. Just calm down. What? You know, so she keeps typing. Got this. And then she looks at me. She says, I'm so sorry, but your tickets are no longer available. I'm like, are you kidding me? And it's at that point, I may have been a little unchristian. I'm just being truthful here. And I got a little bit upset. I'm like, okay, come on, are you serious? And she says, no, it's all right. So she starts typing in the computer again. She goes, well, actually, because your tickets are no longer available, we're still going to get you on the flight, but unfortunately, we're going to have to bump you to first class. Unfortunately, I said, can I pray about that, Shonama? Yeah. Okay, so literally... Now, can I ask you this? Have you ever been in first class? Yes. Now, that's a lot of yeses. Wow, okay. Forgot where I was. Okay, like, wow, it's California, baby. Okay, come on. Like, I first class to me is a phenomenon. You got to understand. I had never been in first class. And so when you go there, the experience is quite phenomenal. What's economy, your pastor? Anyway, so I go there. And when I walk into the plane, I'm about to turn right. And she says, no, sir, you turn left. I'm like, there's a left? There's a left. I walk in and there's like this, I'm telling you right now, they built first class based on like the Levitical blueprint for the tabernacle. There's a curtain. There's a curtain. You enter into the Holy of Holies. You know what I'm saying? You have to wear a rope just in case you die. They drag your dead, unholy body out. You know what I'm saying? So I get into there, and then they take me to the seat. It's not even a seat. It's like a stinking lounge. A couch is there on the plane. She walks up to the lady. She's so lovely, so nice. And she's like, would you like to have your pajamas? I'm like, pajamas? Pajamas. She says, hey, I got some free pajamas for you. I'm like, oh my gosh. It's 12 p.m. in the middle of the day. I look around. I don't care who's in this plane, but I tell you what, right now, I'm putting my Jimmy Jams on now. Okay, so I put them on. You can see all the business people in the plane looking at me just like, who is this rookie? Like, this is unheard of. But it's amazing. Instantly how, like literally, I felt, like, as soon as I stepped in there, honestly, this is me being transparent here, instantly I felt self-righteous. Straight away, I walked in, I put my jammies on, I walked to the curtain, I looked past, I'm like, I wonder what the peasants are doing. You know, like, seriously. So... We fly and we get to... I didn't even sleep, by the way. I didn't even sleep. I'm like, why would I waste first class sleeping? All 24 hours from Sydney to Europe. No, I'm going to lie there and I sit and you press a button. Bing, this lady just pops up out of nowhere like some air hostess ninja. She's like, would you like something to eat? There's a menu. There's actually choices. So I look at the choice. There is satay chicken skewer kebabs. Come on, somebody. How many people know they're going to be in heaven for eternity, right? So I'm like, can I get some of those kebabs or kebabs, whatever you call them over here? And I literally ate so many of them. I just ate the whole time, just eating them. Just by the end, there was like a small lumber yard at my feet. Like I'm telling you, like just discarded sticks on the floor. We land. This is going somewhere. Trust me, some people are like, what is there goes my notes? Okay, so, but we land. When we get there, we actually land in Rome, and not many people know this, but I'm actually a huge ancient history buff. I love ancient history, but particularly church history. And so we went and we go down to the Vatican. Around the corner from the Vatican is the Sistine Chapel. We go to the Sistine Chapel. This one particular day, it's closed. I'm like, are you kidding me? I come all the way around the world and the Sistine Chapel's closed. Like, and I was a little uneducated at that point because I actually thought it was called the 16th Chapel. So I turned to mum and dad. I'm like, they got like 15 others. It's all good. You know, like, like no, you idiot. Okay, so... We walk around to the Vatican. There is no one around. There are these kind of like cattle grates, you call them that, like gates or fences everywhere. There's some screens up and we're like, man, what's this all about? So we walk up and we walk through the cattle grates, go all the way up to the front door of the Vatican. Front door of the Vatican has these huge timber doors. Literally looks like something from Jurassic Park. You know what I'm talking about? Like that huge doors. And we thought, I wonder if we can go in. So we push open the doors. We walk in to the Vatican. And so as we walk in, this is called St. Peter's Basilica. We walk in, and as we stand up the back, there's probably about this amount of people in the room sitting in the pews. Out of nowhere, this guy walks up onto the stage, white little coat, white little cap. It's the Pope. It's the Pope, true story. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the Pope? I'm like, freak, my mum does the typical mum thing. She pulls out her camera. She starts filming. She's filming, she's zooming in. And typical mum thing, she starts commentating as she films. You know what I mean? Like she's filming in and she's like, oh my gosh, there's the Pope. Look at him, he's so cute in his white hat, isn't he? Like this and making mum jokes. He must be pretty popular. Ha ha ha. You know, like, mum, shut up. So literally... We watched it for about 40 minutes. 40 minutes. It was all in Latin or something like that, and I was not really brushed up in that Latin at that time. And so, we walked out of the same doors that we walked in. Same doors. We're talking amongst each other. Our heads are down. And as we walk out, there's a flight of staircases that goes down out into the St. Peter's Square. And as we walk out, what was once an empty square, totally empty, is now 10,000 plus people looking straight at us. Straight at us. I walk out. I'm like, whoa. I'm like looking around. Everyone's looking straight at us. I just got so caught up in the moment. I just start waving like the Pope. I'm like, bless you. Bless you. But, you know, I just get caught up in the moment. And so, but this old Italian guy grabs me, true story, grabs me and reefs us off to the side, this old Italian guy. And he is irate. He is in broken English. He's yelling at me, like, how did you get in there? How did you get in there? How did you get in there? I'm like, bro, take it easy. We just walked in. He's like, how did you get in? I'm like, talk to the Swiss guard. Okay, I don't know. Like, we're just getting upset. He's getting upset. And then he says these words that I will never forget. Never forget. He says, how did you get in there? You don't belong in there. You don't belong. It's at that point, it's almost like his words reverberated in my soul because I am a church kid. I'm blessed to have grown up in church, but I've never heard the words, you don't belong in a church. I found out later that you had to be a fourth generation Roman citizen to attend that particular service. But you don't belong. What's interesting, this begs the question, doesn't it? Then who does belong? Who does belong? Because this is the question that is often asked throughout the centuries, who comprises the membership of the church? But what we've concluded, if anything, and look, all of us have been there and had this thought at one point or another, that really the church, well, that's more like the gathering of the good on Sunday. That's where good people gather. And listen, maybe you've grown up in church, maybe you've been around church environment, and the truth is you maybe have not perceived it that way, but there are thousands of people beyond the walls of this building, and what they see this place is, not because it's truth, that's just their perception, and perception is reality. They look and they think, well, man, that's just where good people gather. How many people know that the church actually isn't the gathering of the good? If anything, it's the gathering of the guilty. Come on, somebody. That we have all fallen short of the glory of God, and we're not here to celebrate our goodness. We're here to celebrate His goodness. And that's why we worship the way we do. That's why we give the way we do and serve the way we do. It's not because we're trying to earn our way into His good books, but we're simply just reciprocating the goodness He gave us and we are celebrating it through that expression. That we are just recipients of His goodness. You see, can I ask you, this is going to be a challenging thought here today. that when you look around the church, this is something that challenged me as we started to start up C3 Cronulla. God really put on my heart, James, if you're not attracting the same people Jesus attracted, then maybe you're not preaching the same message Jesus preached. If you're not attracting the same type of people Jesus attracted, then maybe you're not preaching the same message Jesus preached. And as I reflect upon scripture, and every person in this auditorium who owns a Bible, you know the type of people that were around Jesus, and you know the type of people that were far from him. The people that were typically far were the self-righteous, the people who were typically close were the unrighteous. And so at this point, we come to this point of scripture. And the reason why, because as I read this, as we started to start our church, and even as we ran Young Adults, that strictly inclusive message was something on my heart. I remember thinking about, man, my goodness, have we created this church, not necessarily this one, but globally, have we made the church more like a country club for the morally elite? Where some can get in, but others must stay out. And if you come in, then you must adhere to a certain set of moral requirements. If not, then you are ostracized and rejected. But how many people know that the church is not a country club for the moral elite? If anything, it's a hospital of hope for humanity. Now catch this. If the church is a hospital of hope for humanity, guess what it's gonna be full of? Sick people. Oh, I don't like that church, San Diego church. I don't like it. It's just full of people. They got all these issues. What? That's like walking into a hospital saying, I don't like this hospital. Everyone's sick. Seriously? Get used to the fact that this is going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be uncomfortable because the body of Christ or the community, the ecclesia of Christ, has this unbelievable ability to attract people into his house, into his church that you would never interact with had it not been for the church. That the table of fellowship that is the Lord, you will find yourself sitting across from people that are nothing like you and have never had the background you have and never had the understanding you have, but yet here we are celebrating the God's goodness at the table of fellowship. So how do we do it, James? Like, how do we create a strictly inclusive church? Now, look, I'm preaching in the choir. This church is unbelievable. Always people coming to Christ and people from all walks of life coming in here and being celebrated and loved on men. And so if anything, I'm just going to re-encourage what is already encouraged in this church. But what does a strictly inclusive church look like? Well, number one, let's recognize this, that a strictly inclusive church is a church that is full of, watch this, real people. Real people. You know, how good are we at not being real? Especially in church. Oh man, we blast each other in the car on the way to church, arguing, oh my gosh, you never do this, never do that, oh my God. And then we walk into the church, we're like, hi everyone, good to see you. Best week, right? Best, right? And we just put on this metaphorical mask and project something that really isn't us. But to actually be real. Can I tell you, until you actually become real in this community, because you can still come to church. It doesn't matter how much the church is against kind of being unreal. It's actually your decision whether you want to be real or not. It's your decision. So you can come to church and you can keep at a distance. But I want to encourage you, man, get into a community group or get into a connect group, because what you'll find is that in a connect group, you're going to experience a relationship that's going to go beyond the metaphorical mask into a place of true transparency. Yeah. And it's in your transparency where you're actually going to find freedom. You can be real here. But James, you don't know the real stuff that I deal with. No, I don't. And maybe I can't relate, but Jesus can. And he wants you to be real with him. The second thing we need to recognize is not only is this a real church, let's be real with one another. Come and look, can I say it again? Like, if you're having a bad week, come to church with your bad week. You're having a bad time, come to church with your bad time. Don't reject and think, man, pull back from church, because that's the time you'll need it the most. So be real. But the next thing is that you need to understand that if we're going to have an strictly inclusive church, not only is it going to be real, but it's going to be raw. It's going to be raw. Now, I'm going to put, I don't know if this quote's ready to put up on the screen, but I'm going to put a quote up from a famous actor. And I blanked out some bits on the quote. Because it's not appropriate for me to do that, put it up for what it really says. But I want you to catch this. This is a guy by the name of Shia LaBeouf. He says this: I became a Christian man, and not in a beep, beep way, in a very real way. Now catch this. Not many people know this, but there was a movie that came out a few years ago. It was a romantic comedy called Fury. And Fury, amazing. I loved it. It was a great movie. But not many people know that the director of that film was actually a Christian. And Brad Pitt, who played in the film, he is not a Christian, but his parents are. And this guy was going through a really bad time in his life. And they said, you know what, man? You need Jesus. Even Brad Pitt, he's like, you need Jesus. He doesn't even know him himself. He's like, yeah, you need Jesus. he gives his life to Christ during the making of the film, and it came out. It came out. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, really? Shia LaBeouf became a Christian? And then they ask him the question, did you become a Christian? It was at that point he put out that quote. Now, here's what happened. All our good friends on the internet decided to jump on the blog machine, and they started saying, well, hold on a sec, if he was a Christian, then he wouldn't be talking like that. He wouldn't be talking like that. And I just thinking that, hold on a sec, this guy has known Jesus for 2 weeks. What? For 2 weeks he's known Jesus. How many people know this, that salvation is a moment? In one moment you can meet Jesus, your eternity is altered forever. Listen, salvation's a moment. It's a moment. Watch this. Transformation is a journey. So recognize this, that although we all saved, come on, once you say yes to Jesus tonight, maybe you're here for the first time and you don't know him, it's a simple prayer of faith that says, Jesus, I'm just going to accept what you've done on my behalf. I'm going to receive that. And you are automatically in relationship with God. Automatically, you have an eternity with him in heaven. But your transformation, it's a journey. It's a journey. You see, sometimes we're impatient with each other's journeys. Listen, I'm not here to justify the language he used, by the way. Oh man, are we allowed to do that? No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that we should be willing to deal with one another's rawness. Because if you're going to be an inclusive community, recognize that everyone's on a journey and not everyone's journey is the same. We are moving in the same direction, but we are on parallel tracks. And sometimes we need to be the people who are not there kind of just getting rid of people because they're going through some raw moments. We need to bring them closer in those times. Jesus comes along to a tomb in the Bible. It's from one of his best friends. His name's Lazarus. And he actually comes to the tomb. And he says, Lazarus, come forth. The Bible says that he comes to life. He comes to life. He turns to the disciples. He says, disciples, I want you to roll away the stone and take off the grave clothes. This is profound because it shows us what is actually meant to happen within the church. How many people know that Jesus is the resurrection? Jesus is the life. Jesus is the one who brings salvation. That's not our job. I'm not going to have a Messiah complex. No, his job is to save. But our job as disciples of Christ is to roll away stones and take off grave clothes. Now watch this. Sometimes the church has been known for more throwing stones than rolling them away. But here's the thing. Our job is not to roll away those inconvenient things that are stopping people from getting to Christ, but also to take off the grave clothes. Have one of those moments in church? Did you see that girl in church? Oh my gosh, what was she wearing? Was that like a skirt or a belt? What was that? Hey, you know what? Thank goodness she's in church wearing that. Because 6 months ago, she wasn't wearing anything, trying to find affirmation from a man, but now she's one step closer to having affirmation from her Father in heaven. Come on. Hey, watch this. No, wait. Oh my gosh. Did you see that guy out front of the church? Smoking. Smoking. The devil sticks, smoking. Hey, church. Thank goodness he's smoking outside of the church, because again, 6 months ago, he was smoking crack under a bridge, trying to get rid of a pain, trying to self-medicate, but now he's one step closer to the healer who can not just heal the body, but heal the soul. Hey, church, guess what? It's just grave clothes. It's just grave clothes. And that's often what we do. We see people and we judge them off their grave clothes. That's all it is. Hey, truth be told, you still got your own little bit of grave clothes to take off. Oh no, hold on a sec. No. That's why you need discipleship. That's why you need church community, because the truth is we still have some unwrapping to do. So that gives me great compassion when I realize that I look at someone else's life, but I need to actually go back and reflect on my own and realize that had it not been for the grace of God, I would not be here. That's this grave clothes. You see, this woman comes before Christ, and what's profound about this woman is that she's so real. She sits at the table with religious folk who are quite happy to hide their mistakes and their sins and their failings, quite happy to put on the religious robes and pretend like everything's okay, but yet she comes and she bursts before Jesus, and she is so real. She is so real. Not only that, but she's extremely raw. We know that she is a sinner. One translation actually refers to the fact, and theologians believe that she was a sinner. Why? Because she was actually a prostitute. So now we have this prostitute with perfume busting into a holy religious party and getting before the feet of Jesus. And crazy enough, he lets her. He lets her. He says, you bring your realness and you bring your rawness. He says, the reason why is because, the truth be told, I'm actually relentlessly inclusive. I'm relentlessly inclusive. James, what does that really mean for us to be relentlessly inclusive? It means that it can't be a moment. Listen, can I say, Easter is going to be the perfect opportunity to bring people to church? It's the easiest. It's the easiest. But to be relentlessly inclusive is to know that every Sunday, every time we gather, is a moment to include people in the community of Christ. Every single Sunday. But it's interesting to know, to be an inclusive person is actually, it starts actually with reflection on a daily basis. It really does. On a daily basis, to reflect who you are and who you were, and had it not been for the grace of God, where you might be. It's a daily thing. Say, God, where am I? I had a guy in my church who came 6 months into planning our church, and he walked past the building and he saw a big welcome sign out the front and he took it for real. Sometimes I wonder if that welcome sign actually is real for some churches, but he walks in, and as he walks into our church, I walked up and I said, hey, what's your name? He said, my name's Peter. I said, hey, Peter, where are you from? He says, well, truth be told, I just moved into the area and I just got out of prison. I said, really? That's great, you know? You know, like, don't shank me, you know, like, so he said, but you know what, I saw your welcome sign and I thought, I wonder if I can go in there, because it says I can. It says welcome. It doesn't say welcome if. It doesn't say welcome when. It says welcome. Welcome, just welcome. So he walks in. You see, when Pete came into our church, he was a mess, as Pastor Leanne says, a mess on legs, and he had so many issues. One of the issues being, in our country, one of the biggest, most horrible epidemics is a thing called ice addiction. Ice is one of the most damaging drugs out there. It's literally, it's almost impossible to break the habit of. And he was in an ice addiction, constantly relapsing back into his addiction of ice. And we just kept on loving him. Hey man, it's all good, bro. Come on, just keep coming to church. Keep coming to church. He rocked up to one of our prayer meetings. He reeked of cigarettes and wild turkey. He did. He came up to me and he looked repentant on his face. But as he walked up to me, he said, James, look, man, I'll be honest with you, I've just been through a whole packet of wild turkey and cigarettes as well. And I'm like, bro, I can kind of tell. But he says to me, James, you know what? I still knew I could come. I still knew I could come. A couple months after that moment, he was water baptized. And from the day he was water baptized, he never struggled with ice addiction ever again. Come on, somebody. To God be the glory. Now he is a part of our setup team, helps us run church every single Sunday. But imagine if we weren't an inclusive community. Imagine what would have happened if we weren't willing to embrace the realness and the rawness of his man's life. Imagine if we weren't relentless in keeping up and helping this man go through his issues. Where would he be? And there are stories beyond these walls of this church of people who are waiting to be included. And Jesus is the head of the church. We know that, but we are the body. And I think it's time we start to do what the head is thinking. Let the body be in alignment with what the head is thinking. Saying, would you embrace San Diego? Would you embrace this area? Would you love it? Would you be relentlessly inclusive? You see, I found this for myself. As I close, there's my friend, one of my closest friends in the world, he flies a lot. He's an itinerant preacher. And he said, James, you know, because I travel so much, I've actually got this thing. It's called, we have an airline in Australia called Virgin. He says, it's a Virgin Gold card. And what it allows you to do is it allows you to go into the lounge. You can enjoy the lounge. Man, it's unbelievable. And I'm like, whoa, he said, I can gift it to you. I said, absolutely, I'll take that. And so I took it. And I remember as I started to fly, I would go to the airport and I would go through the lounge. There was a separate check-in. Separate security. I'm like, oh my gosh, to God be the glory. And so I walk in. When you go in, there is a barista. The barista is making coffees for you. This is like Australian coffee, real stuff. And as he, hey, watch out. So he's making coffees. You can sit, there's plush leather lounges and you sit down and you can have, you just enjoy the food and enjoy the ambience. Man, it's unbelievable. But it was funny, a couple of months into enjoying this gift I'd received, I remember sitting there and sometimes in the airports, they look down onto the terminal and you can see people. And literally, again, that self-righteous thing kicked up. I'm like, ha, hello, peasants. You know, like, I'm like, and I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me. James, just remember, you didn't earn this. You didn't earn this. This was a gift. And the reason why you're able to enjoy all the things you enjoy in this place is because it was gifted to you. Hey, guess what? You didn't earn this. You didn't earn this. This was a gift through Jesus. And the reason why we are in a strictly inclusive church and we must continue to be in the city is because God hasn't just given you the pass. He said, I'm going to give you a whole bunch. And I want you to tell people that they didn't earn this, but they're included. That they, come on, they didn't have to prefabricate and perfect themselves before they can come into the church. You just tell them to come on in and let my grace, let my Holy Spirit bring about a transformation. Come on, somebody, that a strictly inclusive church must be relentless. It must be. It must be. This story, the reason why it impacted me so much, because that last line, she loves much, because she's been forgiven much. I'm like, wow. And I started to think, she's a prostitute. She has very big issues that she has gone through. And surely she's gonna love him because, man, she's been through a lot. And I remember thinking to myself, hold on a sec, I'm a church kid. I haven't done anything that bad. I haven't gone, I wasn't a prostitute. Shock, right? I wasn't. That wasn't my story. And I'm thinking, does that mean that I won't love Jesus as much as the drug addict and the prostitute, the ostracized, the rejected out there? Does that mean that? And God started to show me, James, the reason why the Pharisee didn't welcome Jesus the same way the prostitute did is because he still thought he was good. He still thought he was good. He thought he didn't need grace. And the reason why he didn't love Jesus the way that she loved Jesus, it's because she knew her need and he didn't. You see, self-righteousness is self-righteousness. It's about me and it's about me earning my way in a right stand. It's about me doing, me performing. And the Pharisee sat at the table and he says, you won't love me like her because you still think you're good. You see, what makes grace amazing is actually the day you realize how much you needed it. It's what makes it amazing. It's not amazing because it's like it's just a get out of jail free card. I mean, it's just a stain remover and you can just put it on anyone. And you can just abuse it like it's some type of license to do whatever you want. No, it actually becomes amazing and you cherish grace because you realize how desperately I needed it. The reason why the man who wrote Amazing Grace could sing it and this song to echo throughout the ages is because he was a slave trader and he cried out to God. And what God does, let me tell you this, the reason why Jesus came full of grace and truth, it's because until you realize the truth of how much you need him, grace will never be that amazing. But when you realize the truth, grace becomes even more amazing. Hey, so tonight, as we come to a close, can we be that strictly inclusive church? And there's some people here tonight as well. Just if you would do me this favor, I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes in a moment of privacy. In a moment, I'm going to ask if there's anyone here who maybe you're here and you don't realize that you're actually included. You think, no, well, I'm sure, again, it's just the gathering of the good. If you really reflect upon the state of your soul, you know you're not good. Hey, welcome to the party. We're all not good. This isn't the gathering of the good. It's the gathering of the guilty. Oh, James, no, that's not me. Oh, no. See, some people read the scripture, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the way we translate it is that, yeah, we all fell, but I'm pretty sure I fell closer than him. Pretty sure I fell closer than... No, we all fell short. And it's at that point that Jesus meets you. He wants to meet you tonight. He really does. And I would love to have the privilege to introduce you to him through a prayer. So as your eyes are closed and your soul is illuminated, your thoughts are illuminated, where are you at with God? Are you close to him or are you far? Are you close to him or are you far? And he's saying, hey, I'm including you today. My grace is sufficient for you. Would you do that? So that's you on the count of three. I'm going to ask you to put your hand up in the air. No one's looking around. This is a moment between you and God. I'm going to ask you, come on, be included today. He knows you. He's not surprised about the things that you've done. He knew it even before you would do it. But yet here he is, rich in mercy, saying, hey, I'm extending the arms of inclusion towards you. So on the count of three, that's you. Here we go. Nobody looking around. One, it's just between you and God right now. Two, man, he loves you. He wants a relationship with you. Right now, here we go. Three. Put your hand up in the air and say, that's me. God bless you. God bless you. Who else is there? Quickly. Hands up high. God bless you. Who else is there? God bless you up there. Who else is there? Come on. Include me, Lord. God bless you. Who else is there? Include you. Come on. Who else? God bless. God bless. Who else is there? But James, you don't know my story. I don't need to. God bless up the back there. God knows it and He cares. That's why this divine appointment called church has taken place. God bless you. Who else is there? Come on. Before we finish, let me include you in this prayer. If there's anybody else, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hands all over the place. Who else is there? Who else is there? God bless you over there. I want to be included in a prayer. I want to be included in a prayer. If there's anybody else before I finish, please let me include you in this. Let me introduce you to Jesus, His amazing grace, His great plan and purpose for your life. If there's anyone else, awesome, Lord. For those who lifted their hands, we're going to have a moment to pray together, but I want to have one more prayer before I do that, because there's people here, and you're me. Because when I read that scripture, I realized that although I wasn't the unrighteous prostitute, I was the self-righteous Pharisee. Wow. I was. That was me. I sat at the table, and I had moments in my life where I've looked down on people. I have. I've judged people. And God said to say, James, you need me just as much as she does. Self-righteousness is just as big a deal as unrighteousness. You need me. And if you're here today, and I want to include you in a prayer, that God would deal with that. He'd deal with that in our hearts. And He doesn't deal, it's not a crushing blow, no. But it is an exposing moment. We say, God, just remove that. Just search me. Not if there's any offensive way. Would you get rid of that? Because a self-righteous community will never reach the community outside these walls. We need to be people soft to the Father heart of God. So if that's you, and you say, you know what, that's me. I have been pretty self-righteous. By the way, I'm putting my own hand up. So that's you right now. One, two, three. Put your hand up and say, that's me. I have been that. I've been self-righteous. I have been that. I'm going to admit that. Because again, in admitting that, Jesus meets you at your truth, and He does. And that's where the healing happens. That's where the revelation happens. So God, you see every hand here. And God, you don't condemn those hands, Lord, because there is no condemnation in Christ. But we, God, right now admit our need, God, to know your heart better. And as we move into this time of Easter, Lord, let us reflect upon what you have done on our behalf, Lord, that you gave us the path so that we could walk into the relationship with you, God, that we have and enjoy the blessings that you give us. But let's never forget, God, that it was a gift, and we have been given a gift to give a gift, Lord, to give the gift of invitation, Lord. So I thank you. Let this be the best Easter this church has ever had, because we have personally decided, not because the pastor said or a connect group leader said, but we have decided that this city must be included in the love of God, and we will be relentless about it. Even when we have 1,000 no's, we're still going to celebrate because of the one yes that happened, Lord. We're going to keep on persistent. So Lord, I thank you that we would be that inclusive community in San Diego. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, 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 amen. Hey, for those who lifted their hands, we're going to bring them down the front. We're going to do this, because if you lift your hand, you think, man, well, what do I do now? Well, we want to include you in a prayer. And we're going to stand to our feet in a moment. We're going to clap and cheer and shout. And you can think, man, am I coming down the front? Like, you don't have to face the crowd. You just face me, face Andy over here, probably the most attractive worship leader in the world. That's easy. It's easy to do. So if you could come out of your seats and let me have a moment of prayer with you. Maybe you came with a friend. Say, could you come down with me? But come and let's pray together. Solidify this moment with the Lord. And let's get right with Him, because He so wants to be right with you. So right now, church, can we stand to our feet? And everybody who lifted their hands, come on down. Don't stay in your seat. Come on down. Come on, push through. Get as quick as you can. Come on, come up the back, all over the place. Come on, keep coming, church. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Come on, keep coming. Keep coming. If you lifted your hand up the back there, come on, hands all over the place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome, man. Come on. Awesome, Lord. Come on, if you lifted your hand, make sure you come. Make sure you come. Make sure you come. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Yeah, come on. Awesome. Beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Awesome. So many people come down. I mean, I'm so proud of you, huh? And you got to understand, heaven right now, the Bible actually says it, it's written in Scripture, is just going crazy. in my mind, I would think heaven would be like going, oh, well, it's about time. That's what my self-righteous mind would sometimes reflect upon. But heaven is like, oh my gosh, yes. Because the angels of heaven already know what's in store for you. So they're excited on your behalf. That's why they're celebrating. They're like, oh my gosh, not only is their life changed, but their eternity has changed. And so I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer. And this is a prayer of faith. There's nothing magical in my words, but there is something powerful in the sincerity of your heart. To say, God, this is real for me and I want to know you and I want to journey with you. And this is the beginning of a journey. It's not a moment down the front of a church. It's just the beginning of a journey. And so if you're down the front, would you say this prayer after me? And it's just your eyes are closed. Make this a prayer that you're saying to the Lord. Dear Jesus, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you that you died on a cross for my sin, for my shame. Jesus, help me to live for you, to walk with you. Tonight, I start my journey with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give God a huge shout of praise for these guys down the front. So proud of you guys. Can I ask you to do this? We're gonna take you so we can give you a Bible. Okay, that's what we want to do. But here's the thing, it's just the beginning. It's the journey. Hey, is transformation gonna happen overnight? Hey, I've seen miracles happen like that, but a lot of the time it's a journey. It's a journey. And you're just gonna commit to the journey with the Lord because He's so faithful to you. And the Bible actually says He's faithful to complete it. So just do this journey. Come to church next week. Get in a connect group. I think it's connect group week this week. Get in it because you need relationship. And this isn't about a crowd. It's about a community. And you're now part of a community that's going to help you in your journey in the same way you're going to help other people in their journey. So right now, I'm going to turn. And this brother over here is waving his hands. He's going to lead you out and give you a Bible and pray with you. So come on, just turn to your right, my left, and let's clap these guys as they go. Come on, let's do that tonight. Come on, God's good. Come on, let's give God all the praise to people that said yes to Jesus, His Son, tonight. Thank you, Lord. God, you're so good. Come on, keep clapping. Keep clapping. Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, come on, let's keep clapping them as they go. Come on. Awesome. 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 Hey, I'm going to wrap up. I'm going to go. But I do apologize. I've gone a tiny bit over time. But the Lord exists outside of time and I'm trying to be like Him. So, is that a good one? I've been working on it. Hey, I did. I'm not a huge man in promoting product, unless it's hair product, but I do. I wrote a book that I released last year called Strictly Inclusive. And really, this is a book that was really forged in my heart during my time here. And it's all about what it looks like to be a strictly inclusive church. And as a person, there's even a chapter, and it's one of my favorite. And it actually talks about the struggle with inclusion, the struggle, because it's going to be a struggle. I'm not promising ease. It's going to be extremely hard to do that. And this is for sale. I think it's like $10 out there, $10 American, which is about 20 Australian. No, I'm playing. But I want to encourage you, if you want to get a hold of that, get that. I would ask you to do this. If you buy one, I've said this to my church as well, that if you buy one, I would just ask you that once you've read it, you'd give it to someone else. Give it to someone else. Like, say, hey, I think you should read this. I had someone come up to me, and I was at a party. And as I went up to her, she said, oh, hey, well, you know, where are you from? How do you know this person? I said, well, actually, I go to church with him. And he's like, oh, wow. She said, oh, it's interesting. I actually got a book from that church. It was called Strictly Inclusive. And I'm like, I didn't want to admit I was the author. So I'm like, did you like it? And she's like, yeah, I loved it. I'm the author. You know, so, but that... I just hope it's going to bless you in that journey of becoming a strictly inclusive church. So guys, thank you so much for having me. I'm going to hand back over to Pastor John. Come on, let's give God some praise tonight. He's worthy.
Come on, let's give it up for Pastor James. What a message. Strictly inclusive. You can grab your seat really quick. We're almost done. What a great message, Pastor James. So great to have you back, man. Funniest preacher on the planet, but so powerful, so powerful. He always brings it home. And he's one of the guys I learned so much from when you were here. Just for that 2 or 3 year stint, learned so much from Pastor James. Make sure you get his book, Strictly Inclusive. I think the message that I took from that word is just to always remember where I came from. Always remember that it was a gift. You know, who am I I often pinch myself and go like, man, how am I living this life? I didn't do any of this stuff. People say good job. I'm like, man, I didn't do any of this stuff. Like, it's all God. It's all God. So anyways, we're going to take a love offering because we want to bless Pastor James and, more importantly, Pastor Alana, his wife. But so we're going to take a love offering. And, you know, it's actually right for us. The Bible teaches that if there's somebody that labors in the spirit, it's right for us to reward them with our physical labor, what we get from physical labor, which is our material things. And so we're going to take an offering. And we want to see Pastor James back here. The guy's wanted all over the world. He's flying all over the place preaching and stuff. But we want him back in San Diego. Let's send him away blessed. And so that next time Alana will let him come to San Diego and be blessed. Maybe she'll come with him. Maybe she'll come with them. And so why don't you prepare your offering? And I just gave on my phone, text to give, super easy way to give. But you have an envelope on the back of your seat as well. But let me just pray for you as we give. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for Pastor James and Alana Murray and their kids. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in Cronulla. And God, I just pray, Father, that you would continue to expand that church, grow that church. Father, give Pastor James strategy. Lord, keep him to have the heart that he preached tonight, Lord, that inclusive heart, Lord. We know some of the amazing things that you're doing down in Australia, Father. So continue to bless him. Father, elevate his voice. And God, we just send him off blessed in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.